Matthew chapter 4. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tested by the devil. Now, the devil is not actually who a lot of people think it is, or what a lot of people think it is. The word Satan means an adversary, and devil means a false accuser. And that's all those words mean. And they don't mean of themselves that anyone is particularly out there in the cosmos, out there in space, who's like an evil monster or anything. Because God is all-powerful. God is completely in control. And it's not that some of the angels are good and some of them are evil. They're all obedient to God. So God has 100% power. And so God says, I form the light and I make the darkness. I create light, I create darkness, I create good, and I create disaster. So the problem is sin. And sin comes from within us. Not that we are sinful, not that we have a thing called sin right inside us, but we have a temptation to sin. We have a tendency to sin. It's just in us. And that sometimes is what the Bible calls the Satan, the devil, the real enemy. And I think that that's what's happening here. So, God led Jesus into the desert to be tested by the devil, the enemy. After spending 40 days and nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are God's son, order these stones to turn into bread." But Jesus replied, "The scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word of God." Well, if there really is this evil being, like as a dragon with horns, etc., well, if you quoted the Bible at it, presumably it would just laugh or giggle. Whereas Jesus quoted the Bible to overcome the devil. Now, that makes sense if the devil is, in fact, our own inner temptations. We have a thought comes into our mind and we quote the Bible. And actually, if you look at the three quotes that Jesus is going to make here, they're all from the book of Deuteronomy. And that was when Israel had been 40 years in the desert. Now, Jesus is 40 days in the desert, and he sees the relevance to himself. And when the devil says, "If you're God's son," well, yes, this would have been the little voice inside Jesus. Are you really the Son of God? Is it really true what Mum said about an angel coming and making her pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Maybe, you know, Mum was just telling me that. Maybe that's not the case. So he'd always had that temptation to think that, now, how can I be the only human being who's not had a father? So, yeah, I can understand him getting that temptation from within, from inside himself. Right, the next one. Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For the scripture says God will give orders to the angels, and they will hold you up in their hands if you ever would dash your foot against a stone." In other words, you're not going to be hurt because the angels are going to hold you up in their hands if you're God's son. But Jesus replied, "But the scripture also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So he was saying, I'm not going to test God, because that is what is written again in Deuteronomy. And again, it's this temptation, if you are the Son of God, do this. Then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their greatness. "I will give you all this," the devil said, "if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus replied, "Get away from me, Satan. The scripture says that we should worship the Lord our God, and him only should we serve." Then the devil left Jesus, and angels came and ministered to him. Well, you can read this as you wish, but it seems to me that this is a picture of Jesus being tempted just like we are, because Hebrews says, Hebrews 4, that Jesus was tempted exactly like we are. Now, we're not tempted by a physical person, like with a long tail and horns and that, coming behind us and saying, "Hey, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?" We're tempted by our own desires. Now, we've all had plenty of experience of being tempted and falling into sin, unfortunately. And every time we fail, that's the reason.
No one is standing there with their long tail saying, I'm going to force you to sin. It is all from within. And this is where understanding this topic can be really helpful. Because, for example, when people have got addictions, that is, they keep on drinking alcohol, doing drugs, etc., you can try to reason with them that don't say that it's because I'm being forced to do this by the devil. Well, people may do something awful like kill somebody and say, ah, the devil made me do it. Well, no, you cannot blame your behavior on somebody out there. It is your own fault, and you need to get a grip on yourself and be restrained. And self-restraint and self-restraint, self-control, these are really big issues. These are really very much part of what it means to be a Christian. So then, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went to Galilee. He didn't stay in Nazareth, but went to live in Capernaum, a town by the Sea of Galilee, in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was done in order to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. You land of Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way to the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. On those who live in the shadow of death, light has arisen. From that time, Jesus began to preach in this way. Turn from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus walked along by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon, who was Peter, and his brother Andrew, who were fishing in the lake with a net. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will teach you to catch men. Immediately they left their nets and went with him. Now, one of the themes of the response of the disciples is immediately. So when we hear the call of Jesus, and often it comes at an awkward time, like they were at work, they were actually out fishing with their net, and hey, you, come after me. Well, we must say yes straight away. And you see that the purpose of being a disciple was to catch men. He says, come with me and I'll teach you to catch men. So, evangelism, that is preaching the gospel, trying to persuade men and women to come into the kingdom, this is very much what we're called to do. Now, in another parable, Jesus talks about the day of judgment, and he says that it's like a net that has caught all sorts of fish that is pulled to shore, and then the judge will, as it were, decide. The fishermen throw the bad ones away and keep the good ones. And so that is what Jesus said the judgment will be like. So we're out fishing, and we're getting all sorts of people into the net. The thing is to get as many people in the net as possible. And then you pull the net to shore in the morning because they used to fish at night. It's like all our lives now, we're living in the night of this world, the light of the Gentiles. And when Jesus comes, it will be like the morning. And then he will look at all the fish. So Jesus went on and saw two other brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And Jesus called them, and at once, immediately, they left the boat and their father and went after him. Jesus went all over Galilee, preaching the gospel about the kingdom of God in all their synagogues and healing people who had all manner of diseases and sicknesses. News about him spread throughout the whole area of Syria, so that people brought to him all those that were sick, all those that had various kinds of diseases, epileptic people, paralytic people, and Jesus cured them all. Huge crowds followed Jesus from Galilee and from the Decapolis and from Jerusalem, from Judea, and the land that was situated on the opposite side of the Jordan River.